shopping and loved the way that they've been presented and gotten them home and been disappointed. As I'm pounding my way in the gym on the cross trainer, the TV is showing an ad for something called a CrossFit bar. And it's one of these things that vibrates and you stand on it, and apparently that does all the work for you. And it melts away your fat, apparently, and gives you this body that you just dream about. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I doing all this physical exertion when I can just get one of those? Well, one thing that I did buy just recently was something called the Hurricane Mop. I don't know whether you've seen this advertised, but the guy using the mop makes mopping look fun. He cleans anything with one wipe with this supposedly technologically designed mop. I mean, after all, it is just a mop. Anyway, I bought it, and it arrived this week, and I used it yesterday, and I'm starting to ask myself, is this what I saw advertised on TV? Because it did not make mopping fun. Now, it can be very disappointing when your expectations aren't met. And that's what we have with John the Baptist. He had high expectations of Jesus. I mean, last week he was saying, "This is the one whose sandals I am not even worthy of carrying or doing up." He says, "This is the one who is going to make my baptism look so ordinary." He was so fired up that he took on the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, and called them a brood of vipers. Something has changed today, and his expectations of Jesus did not arrive. John took on the wrong person. He took on Herod. The Pharisees, not too bad. But now he takes on Herod, and he criticizes Herod because of his marital status. And now John is in prison. And it sounds like he's beginning to have some doubts. He sends some of his own disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another?" Now, what I like about Jesus' response to John is that he doesn't criticize him. He doesn't tell his disciples, "Go back and tell John, you of little faith, why are you doubting?" Just like he didn't criticize doubting Thomas when Thomas didn't believe the disciples that Jesus had risen and appeared to them. In fact, what Jesus does, he upholds John publicly before others. He says, "Among those born of women, no one greater has been born than John." John was a great preacher. John was a great prophet. But his expectations of the Christ, the Messiah, did not fit what he saw in Jesus. Now, that's something that each of us can struggle with at times, when we don't have our expectations of God met. John wanted someone who was going to change everything. He wanted a Christ who would sweep away all the unreligious people and the corrupt. But instead, John hears stories that Jesus is eating with tax collectors. Now, tax collectors were the traitors. They were Jewish people who collected taxes from their own people on behalf of the Romans, the enemy. Jesus wasn't judging or condemning sinners like John thought that he would. Instead, he hears that Jesus is sitting down and eating with them and making forgiveness really easy for them. In fact, Jesus was even encouraging people to forgive their enemies, including the Romans. So things are not working out the way John expects. John knew exactly who Jesus was. When we hear our Christmas readings, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, we will hear about a pregnant Mary going to visit a pregnant Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. And when Mary arrives, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, unborn, already leaps for joy at the presence of Jesus. John knew exactly who Jesus was. So why is he now questioning? John questions just like we do at times. I mean, he's in prison. The Lamb of God is not saving John from prison. The one who was supposed to take away the sin of the world did not take away the sin of Herod. Maybe it's because John misunderstood what was meant when he proclaimed, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Maybe John thought he was going to take away the sinner of the world. So you can't really blame John in that situation. He expected more of Jesus. And maybe we at times expect more from Jesus too. We want Jesus to walk into Parliament, don't we? And stop them legalising same-sex marriage and euthanasia. We want Jesus to demand that Christian schools and churches and aged care be allowed to only employ Christians. Isn't that what many Christians expect from Jesus? We gather in prayer vigils. We vote for Christian members of Parliament. And by doing this, we hope that God's will is done. And yet we see the opposite happening. We see churches being stripped more and more of their rights and privileges. In Jesus' answer to John, he indicates that power and authority is not the way that John thought it would be. And it's very different to the way that the world believes power and authority should be shown. Jesus tells his disciples, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them." Nothing in there about destroying the enemy. No, it's about Jesus coming to show God's love and mercy. Jesus' power and authority was shown by helping those in need, by helping those who had no one to help them. It was about justice. And so Jesus didn't come, as John has hoped, to destroy the wicked, to get rid of the evildoer. No, instead, Jesus came and invited the sinner back to God. Even today, some people take offence when we suggest that this is the kind of saviour that Jesus came to be. Some people, perhaps some of us, want him to close the door on those who are against him, those who are different to the standard of life that he calls upon. We have our list, perhaps, of those who shouldn't make it into heaven. God doesn't. Jesus came to set us free from that way of thinking. Jesus came to give us sight for when we are spiritually blind. Jesus came to open our ears for those times we have ignored the cries of others. Jesus came to give us a voice to speak out for the poor, to loosen our tongues so that we can speak God's love and mercy and not judgment. Uncertain times can rattle us. They can cause doubts in our faith, in our spiritual journey. When we face adversity and disasters, sometimes we question whether Jesus really is our Saviour, or should we expect someone else, or even ourselves, are the ones that can do it. We question why bad things happen, why God is not there for us, and we fall into the trap of thinking God is only there when things are good. Doubting, like John the Baptist, is part of our spiritual journey. Our spiritual struggle is because we are still sinful human beings. Even at his own ascension, some of his own personal closest disciples still doubted. Matthew's gospel says the 11 disciples went to Galilee. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Sometimes we just have to wait during those times when it is uncertain, when there are anxious moments. We just have to have patience and trust that God is working. Advent is a season of waiting. It is a season of expectation. It is a season of preparation for Jesus to come. First of all, in a fortnight, when we celebrate Christmas. But we are also waiting for him to come again at the end of time. The first coming, we are comfortable with. We celebrate it every year. But it's that second coming of Christ, the one when he comes to judge the world. That's the one that we become impatient about. And that's because there is so much chaos in the world that we want Jesus to fix. And we have our own fair share of chaos in our own lives. There are more people who question and doubt and disbelieve the presence of God than those who believe. We are a minority. And so as Christians during Advent, we are called to reflect. We are called to pray. And we are called to wait for the coming of our Lord. As baptized children of God, we were once blind. We were once deaf. But God has opened our ears and our eyes so that we can hear his good news again. And if we keep our eyes and ears open by faith, then we will hear and see God's mighty work even during those difficult times. And so it is time for us to share that good news. It is time for us to share that hope that we have with others, those who doubt, those who disbelieve. Despite what our eyes see and our ears hear, we know that Jesus is returning. And until then, he gives us eyes and ears of faith. James, in his letter, says, "Be patient until the coming of the Lord. The judge is standing at the door." It's hard when we go through life expecting that God is going to act in a certain way on our behalf. But this life is not where God's promises are fulfilled. He did make a promise, however, and he said, "I am with you always until the end of the age." And at the end of the age is where God's promises will be fulfilled. And so Jesus said, "Until then, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." That's the ultimate promise of Jesus to bring us to our eternal home. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And may the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding keep your hearts and minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.